Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversial. Chaos. And community. Spiritual. Chaos. For your listening pleasure.
Radio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver for those that's on the internet and those that are on the phone line that called in to listen at 845-277-9094. We got a great show tonight, and before we get into it and before I jump into the word tonight, I just want to say thank you to my sponsors, the Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Pepsi, Brentwood Publishing, and Finish Line. For sponsoring us and for allowing me to do this show. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. I can't say I've done this before. If I have, it slips my mind, but I got five preachers that's going to give a word. And with everything that's going on with the rioting in Minnesota and racial profiling and police officers killing black men, last time we did a show, and we did a show on it, and some of the people that's going to be bringing the word was on the show, and I was very upset during that show. I was just, you know, outraged with what I seen, and that was about the killing in Georgia. Now, a couple of weeks later, we got another black man being killed in Minneapolis. Couldn't breathe. He police officer, if you've seen the story, you already know. I don't have to repeat it. And I'm to the point where I was frustrated a couple weeks ago, and I think I talked to when I did the show, I talked offline, off the air with Officer Tim Brown. You're going to be hearing from him tonight. And he said something to me that stuck with me about it being demonic spirits that we're dealing with. And I was upset, and I felt hatred coming up. And I had my pastor on as well, and we talked about it, and now we're right back at the same place again. And the Lord laid on my heart, what can we do differently? So tonight, instead of me voicing my anger and frustration out on what's going on in the world, what I decided to do, spiritual approach to this, and deal with it from the Word of God. And from the Word of God, I feel better because I've seen some things in the Word that I'm going to share along with these other men from God. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know what they're going to get. But I know every black man, especially a preacher, got a word for you guys out there today. What we're doing, something a little different, I asked the people on Blog Talk. They normally give me a number of how many people I can listen to at the end of each show. I told them for tonight, and for tonight only, I needed an update even before we get started, because when I'm not doing any FaceTime, I just believe people need to hear a word. It don't matter who giving it, long as it's being given by the Lord, and these men are qualified to give a word, and I just want them to give a word and come in their own way to give the word. So, you know, even before we got started, at 5 minutes to five, we've had people already tuned in and listen, over 1,100 people. That was at 5 minutes to five. and I'm 5 minutes after five, and we're already up to 1,700 people right now. Now, I know this is costing them a little bit to give me these numbers right on the spot. I wanted to do that because I want to make an impact in my platform. And just yelling and screaming and saying this and saying that, that's one thing, but that doesn't get us nowhere. So we're going to attack it from the Word of God. So I got five preachers that we're going to bring forth tonight. I'm going to give you a little background about them, and then after I give you the background, I'm going to be real quick because I'm going to let them go. The first preacher that's going to be coming forth tonight is Elder George Bizarre out of Warren, Ohio. He was originally, a long time ago, he used to be my youth pastor when my father was pastoring. He was one of my father's elders. He was a youth pastor. He was a Sunday school teacher. And even when my father passed away back in 93, this elder still continued to mentor me all the way up until today. Even today, I value this man's opinion. His name, Elder Bizarre. You'll be hearing from him first. After Elder Bizarre, we have Tim Brown, brother-in-law. Tim Brown, good man of God, man of faith, preacher man. He served on the police force, retired from the police force. He's another man of God. And by him, he's going to present the word right after Bizarre. Then after Bizarre, we have Elder Taylor. Elder Taylor, I serve with him. He's the head elder at Praise Tabernacle Church in Lawrenceville, Georgia. He serves as the head elder over there. And he's a great teacher. He's a great preacher. He's a good friend. He's a husband, family man. He got kids. Well, all of them got kids and grandkids, and they're men that have something to say. Then hopefully we'll have the overseer from Texas. Well, hopefully he'll be joining with us. And then after that, then I'll close the show out. But without no further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to Elder George Bizarre. And Bizarre, you can give them a little bit more of your background, but when you go on, you're going to be down. You got 6 minutes. There you go, Doc.
All right. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that was, the one that is, and the Almighty, the one that is to come, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's my hope, my joy. He's my love. He's everything to me. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Elder Joy Bizarre out of Warren, Ohio. Been ministering, evangelizing for 56 years. Called into the ministry at age 21, worked all through Eastern and Northern Ohio, youth teacher. I've been called Revelation Nut because I'm an end-time preacher, and I know one thing about this. The day we're living in a time never before in human history. Things are out of control. Men today are not stable. Men today don't know which way they want to go. Men today are confused. Because of one thing, because they're not putting their whole trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On the behalf of this year's shooting and the last few shootings, it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time. Men's been killing men ever since the beginning of time. And the world today don't understand when we get outside of the will of the Lord and we live on our own. We have to realize that we need God at all times. On the behalf of this murdering, this year started in 1620. And I'm not just naming blacks. Every nationality done had some kind of discrimination put up on them where people don't want them to be successful, don't want them to be alive on this planet, because God made this world too big for us to be squirmish and fighting against each other. I disagree with what went on. I don't know what exactly went on, but what went on was not right. I'm protesting. I'm praying about it. I'm thanking God that I raised three sons, and I told them in the beginning, present yourself at all times. Don't be getting into trouble with nobody. Don't be carrying no racial chips on your shoulder. God made us all, and he intended us to do his will. And the only way you can do his will is you got to know him in the pardon of your sins. An age that we're living in, blacks have been always discriminated, and I don't care where you go. If your skin is just a little darker, you're going to be discriminated. So you got to present yourself presentable at all times before other races, and that goes for every race. Every race is supposed to be representing God Almighty, Christ himself. And most likely we know that the world today is on a downfall because our present generation and the generation before us have rejected God. Now, the circumstances that we find ourselves now in is every policeman is not right. Every policeman is not a racial prejudice. But there's a lot in there that don't like blacks, and that's what they go after. So we got to be aware, amen, when we go out or do things or be in some kind of trouble or anything, I don't care how big it is, they're going to make an issue out of it. But when they make an issue out of it, they don't know how to approach it. And the police ought to know how to be able to talk to black people. If you don't know how to talk to black people, then you stereotype them. You already done put them in a place where they say, well, I know what he's going to do. He's on drugs. If he got a brand new car and drives and living in a fine house, he's on drugs. See, and I'm not prejudiced. I'm not starting no race riot or anything like that. But you got different nationalities. You got the white, Chinese, Mexicans. You got Jews. You got all kind of different cultures, and some people can't get the understanding. When God made man, he made him without any excuses. He made him upright. He made him to praise him. He made him to worship him. So the reason why the world is divided, because we got to realize we got an enemy. We got a greater enemy than the policeman. We got a greater enemy than the FBI. We got an enemy that's the prince power of the air. That's ruling in high places. And he's out to do one thing, destroy anybody to get in his way. He's always bringing trouble. He looks for trouble. He makes trouble. He brings trouble up, and that is Lucifer himself. Satan is ruling like a lion. And whoever he get in, he's going to, if he get in a white man and he bring hate in that man, that white man's heart, if that's in his heart, he's going to hate black people. He's going to hate certain people. And he's going to be prejudiced. And mostly, if we see, we come on ships. And when they brought the black man over here, they brought him over here to work. They brought him here to keep him down. And whenever you see a black man successful, the opposite race get jealous. They say, well, what is he doing? He must be doing something. Well, he's working. He can work, too. He's got talent. And people don't understand. Every person that God made, they got a talent. And God made the black man, made the Jew, made the Hispanic, made the Indian. Everyone got talent. And men today is not comprehending the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omnipresent God to realize.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bizarre. We're going to come back to you in a little bit. I just got to keep the party rolling and keep the mic hot. So with that being said, I got Minister Tim Brown coming on from Warren, Ohio. He give a few minutes to give you a little resume about himself, and he's going to jump right into the Word of God as well. So Minister Tim Brown, here you go.
Christian Fellowship. I'm sorry. And
you on, Doc.
As Derek. Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Oh, okay. Somebody keep cutting in. And I was a police officer here in Warren 33 years. Had the opportunity to protect and serve my community here as a minister. And God showed me God opened my eyes to a lot of things as a minister, but he also showed me the need of people that they have. One thing I want to say is this, and the brother hit on it before, we do have that spirit of Antichrist in the world today, and like the Bible said, in this world we're going to face many troubles, but be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. But also he says during these end times, people's hearts are going to wax cold. Men are going to become lovers of themselves. They're going to hate their parents. They're going to hate God. They're going to have a form of godliness, but not the power thereof. There's going to be a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's what we're dealing with today, is that hatred. And we've been dealing with it, but it has increased. But a scripture I would like to share with you tonight. There's two before my time is up. Is there in Ephesians 20, which says, "Now unto him that is able to exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." We as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to take a stand. We have to be that driving force. We have to be that force that God wants us to be. He has given us and blessed us after we accept Christ in our life and filled us with the Holy Spirit. He said, according to the power that works in us, we have a reservoir of power that I don't believe this church has yet to tap into the fullness of. That's why he asked us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, because he realized the battle that we're facing. It's a spiritual battle, and he wants us to be on the offensive, not the defensive. He wants us to take the battle that Jesus already won, and he took it from the devil after he died and went to hell. And we can't, allow the enemy to creep up through his deceptiveness and his crookedness and his wickedness to take it back, which he's trying to do. Men's hearts are going to be evil. That's a given fact. But the power of God is powerful to go through walls. Not only that, if you can't climb the wall, but God gave us the power to go through the wall, and not through that wall, to change this generation. He told us to go out amongst the highways and hedges to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to change the heart of men. We can't do it with worldly wisdom. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my preaching was not of enticing words at man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And verse 5 says, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So we have to walk in that power to change the hearts of men. They can be changed. Why? Because our heart is changed. He can change that man that killed that man. He can change those four officers that participated in that crime, because he has done it. Paul was Saul before anything. He was persecuting the church, but God changed him. And that's what we have to walk in, not in the wisdom of this world and of men, but not with enticing words, not sounding all good when we're up there preaching or teaching with long words, but we have to walk in the wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Faith needs to stand in God. I need to walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, while seeing all this was going on, yeah, it grieved me too, especially as a police officer. But I know a change can be done, and we just can't sit idle. Having it on Facebook and this and that is fine, or, marches is fine. How long have we marched and this is still going on? What did that tell us? Marches, yeah, it's fine because it has brought some changes. It brings us to a awareness, but it's not busting through that wall that we need to. This is rooted and grounded. And Jesus said we need to have that intimacy with him. We are small in stature, but we have a power in us that the world has yet to see. And Satan knows we have it, and he doesn't want us to display it and walk in it. Why? Because he knows that we will whoop his behind, and we will change hearts. People will get saved. People will start crying out to God like we do, and that's what needs to be done. This evilness is only going to be dealt with through the power of God, not in our wisdom. You can get the wisest men in the world what has been. They made laws and everything else, but what's happening? Everything is still going on. So we know, and God is trying to tell us, the church, this is the position we need to take. And I know my time is up, but I'm done.
Amen, amen. All right, Tim, you got me excited over here. You got me ready to roll. Go right down there with you. That was beautiful. Hopefully people taking this in, and we're going to keep the party rolling on. What I have, Richard Taylor, Praise Tabernacle Church elder, he going to be ready, and he is next.
All right. Thank you, Elder Oliver. I appreciate this opportunity to come before you people today. Again, like he said, I'm the head elder at Praise Tabernacle Church, where Bishop Omar Zachary is our pastor. And I just love the word. I love teaching. I love preaching. I love sharing the word with the men and women of God and learning myself. We're going to get right into it. Minister Brown, Tim Brown, brother, you said so many things that I wanted to say already, and I concur with everything that you said. You know, we live in a world where I believe there's a spirit behind everything. And what we're living in is today, we're fighting against spirits. And see, the world don't know how to fight against these spirits. But we as a church, as a collective body of believers of the Lord that's been taught through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, to understand that we live in the world, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wicked things of high or in high places. There's a spiritual warfare going on in high places in the heavens for the souls of men on this earth. And what we're seeing is going on right now is spirit-driven, evil spirit-driven. And so we as a collective body of believers, leaders in the church, men and lay members of the church, we have to some kind of way figure out through the Holy Ghost how we can come together and pray and seek the face of God like never before. Because racism has been going on for a lot of years. This is nothing new. Police brutality has been going on for a lot of years. And we do things like march and do demonstrations and all of that's good, like Mr. Brown was saying. That's good because it brings attention to the situation. But what's going to get us through the wall? What's going to get us over the wall? What's going to get us through the wall? It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way we're going to fight this demonic force in the world, in this world that we live in. Racism has been going on for hundreds of years. Police brutality has been going on for hundreds of years. This is nothing new. So, but people, you look at Dr. Martin Luther King, how he came against racism, that he brought attention to it. But did that get us over the hurdle? You look at Malcolm X, how he brought attention to racism by any means necessary. Did that work? No, because that his way was all fleshly ways. None of this. We cannot fight this enemy. We cannot fight the adversary in our flesh. It has to be through the Spirit. Because the Bible says the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if I know I've got the greater one on the inside of me, I know how to fight against the enemy. I have to recognize it when I see it. I have to be able to discern the enemy when I see it. And like Mr. Brown was saying, God can change and fix the heart of men. But what's going to cause God to fix the heart of men? The people of God. The people of God. The people of God is going to have to be the ones that's going to fix. Let me give you a scripture real quick. It says in Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." And everything that they've been doing in Minnesota, tearing up their own city, wherever there's a riot, if you look back at Rodney King, when those cops were found innocent for beating him, they were filmed beating him on the highway, they tore up the city, the L.A. riot. What did that do? Did that change anything? It may have brought awareness to it, but we as people, because this has angered me as much as it did anybody, to see this man being killed the way that he was, like a dog on the street. It angered me. But the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. What can I do to help rectify this situation? I have to pray. I have to seek the face of God. I got to get in his presence. And we as a collective body of believers all over this country have to come together and form a magnificent weapon in prayer that the Holy Ghost could come in and subdue this enemy, this spirit of hate. The spirit of hate, and when you got this spirit of hate, it's like a gateway spirit. It brings other kinds other kind of hate. Now, blacks does not have not always been people that have just been discriminated against. You got Jews, how Hitler did with the Jews in concentration camps and over in Germany. And so there's other cultures that have been discriminated against. What does God want us to do? What is he saying right now? Press into me. Press into me. We cannot fight this enemy because we can't see him, but I can fight him in the spirit. And if I walk in the spirit and I talk in the spirit and I act in the spirit, then I can fight the enemy in the spirit. I have a 19-year-old son. I have an 11-year-old son, black boy, that I had to pray for every day, a little extra more than I do my daughter. Because it seems like my son has been stopped. He's been driving just a couple of years. He's been stopped about four or five times by the police. And I just thank God that he was able to come home after each time. Stop. Now, a couple of times it was his fault because he was speeding. He shouldn't have been speeding. But still, that could have escalated into something else, and he couldn't have made it home. Other times it just was racial profiling. And I just thank the Lord that he made it home. And I believe that God kept him safe because of the prayers of the righteous. The fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. And that's what we got to be as a collective body of believers. We got to draw nigh unto him that he may draw nigh unto us so that we can fight the wickedness of this world. That's the only way it's going to do it. And then, in the natural element, in the physical element, the police got to understand how to police each other. The police got to be able and be not scared to police each other. Stand up against them and say, hey, man, that's wrong. Instead of that that cop standing there at parade rest while the other cop had his knee on George Floyd's neck, choking him out because he couldn't breathe, he's just standing there. Instead of turning around and saying, hey, man, this is wrong. You can't do this.
And Elder Taylor, I gotta stop you real quick. Elder Taylor, I gotta stop you. But I'm coming back to you.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna come back to you. We good on time right now. I see the other preacher, Overseer, is joined the line. I'm gonna give him a minute to get ready. He's gonna go after me. Then I'm gonna come back at the beginning with Bazaar again because I wanna get you guys some more words and a little bit more time. Probably another 3 more minutes. If you guys can just hang on with me a little bit more. And right after I get done in the next 5-6 minutes, hopefully, I'm going to bring on Overseer Tim Jackson from Texas, and he's going to give a word. I just saw him in the queue, so I'm going to give him a minute to get ready. And after him, I'm going to go back to Bazaar. This is really good. Elder Taylor, I really enjoyed what you were saying and coming from the Word of God. I've been enjoying what everyone has been saying. I'm going to jump right into it. I'm going to take it from a different level. And I know the word racism has been thrown out a whole heck of a lot. But who was done wrong more than anybody and has got beaten worse than anybody has ever got beaten besides Jesus? And from that beating Jesus did, and I'm trying to take it somewhere with this, because with all that's going on in the world, we're dealing with things in the spiritual realm. And we're supposed to tell our young black sons and nephews and cousins and friends how to deal with certain situations. And we're going to continue to do that. But I'm just going to read, I got two scriptures and I'm going to be done. And one of them is John 14:2. And it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I just want you to let that sink in for a minute, that Jesus went to prepare a place for us. So in the hindsight of everything, you're born, you live, and you die. Now, no matter what the world is going through right now, as bodies of believers, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We was put here when we were bought with a price for a reason. And if you're walking around and you are a child of God, the Lord is going to prepare a place for you. Now, whether it's the coronavirus or whether it's racism, we all going to die. And I understand that we need to take precautions over the racism and all the stuff that goes on in the world, because bad things do happen. It happened to Jesus. He was found guilty. He was found guilty, and he didn't even do nothing. And they beat him, and they hung him on a cross. So what I'm trying to say is that he's already experienced all this firsthand. You can't tell no one about being racial profiled better than you do Jesus. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. In order to be Christ-like, okay, well, what are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to say is the Lord has already prepared a place for us if we're living right. If you're living right, he's preparing a place. But one day you're going to die. And if you die, then you got to have make preparations for if you die, because you're going to die. It might be racism. It might be an illness. It might be because of the coronavirus. But in the Bible, Romans 10:9, if you can get that for a second, I just want you to see it. Romans 10:9. And when you see what it says, it's going to make all this, to me, I ain't going to say it makes me feel better, but it kind of makes me feel better, because it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. And at the end of that scripture, there is a period. And it says that, I'm going to read it verbatim, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And there's a period at the end of that. That means the end of the statement. That means it's over. And that's all I'm going to focus on. He prepared a place for you, and if you confess with your mouth, you are saved. Now, what we got to understand and what we got to start teaching young black men and women, and just not just young black, but just all people in general, is that you need a savior, because you're going to die. And some death is just like these guys that was killed. It was wrong. My question was he ready? Was his mansion ready? Because one thing you're going to do, you're going to live and you're going to die. And what you do in between, how you die, we don't talk about how Jesus died all the time, only on Easter and maybe Christmas. We talk about how he died, but he died for us. So all I'm trying to say to these people who's out here, who's riding, tearing up everything, it ain't going to do no good. The only thing that's going to do good is if you got Christ in your heart. And once you get Christ in your heart and you making preparations for what happens after we leave here, then you can walk out there with your head up. And the only way we can run out racism is that evil spirit is by the word of God. If you want to run away anyone that's bad, start talking the word of God. I understand that there's a t-shirt going around that says, I can't breathe. The thing about it, but he said he can't breathe, the last word should be Jesus. So when you start speaking about Jesus, something seems to happen. And I'm not trying to say that I'm a novice at this. I'm just trying to put it out there. When you talk about Jesus, things begin to happen. If you're around some bad cops, if you're around bad karma and you start bringing the word up, that bad karma will leave. I'm a witness to it. It will leave. And with me saying that, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to be done with it. I'm going to go right on to the minister, overseer Tim Jackson out of Florida. He can take it from there.
All right, thank you, and all glory be to the Most High, Heavenly Father, and to His Son, Yahshua, and the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Mr. Oliver, for this opportunity, and hello to everyone and to everyone that's listening. So I just want to start out by saying never give up. I think that's very important to each and every one of us that are believers in this life, and even to the non-believers, that we should never give up. And so I'm going to use just a combination of scriptures, and in which I'm about to start over in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 31. I want to start with what Paul said. Paul is like one of my favorite when it comes to the written word. He says in verse 31, what shall we say then? Say to these things, if Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? And I like what you brothers have been saying and what's going on in the world. But, you know, once you have the Heavenly Father on your side, can't nobody touch you. I'm going to tell you like this. They better not touch you if you're a child of the Most High. They better not lay a single hand on you, because he's here to protect you and keep his own. He keeps each and every one of us, and this is why salvation is so important. But also know that if they do you harm, know that the Bible says that Yahweh has the power. It says man has the power to destroy the body, but only the Most High has the power to destroy the very soul. So no one, not even Lucifer, not death, not hell itself, can destroy the soul. Only the Most High has the power to destroy the very soul. Watch what Paul said. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Okay? It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect, the Heavenly Father Yahweh? It says, it is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. See, Christ is going to judge each and every one. All these people that do all this evil, this murder, this killing, like my father used to say, like my brothers used to say, that's in ministry, they're going to pay for it. One day they're going to stand before the great throne of judgment. We're going to sit there and watch them be judged. If they don't repent and turn over to him and ask for forgiveness for what they have done, if they get a reprobate mind, that's the worst thing that you can have is a reprobate mind, to think that you've done no evil and no wrong when you're just out here murdering, killing people and just sinning. The Bible says that he's going to judge. This is Christ that condemned it. It says, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, can't nothing separate you from the love. Once you are a believer, you are saved for all eternity. Satan don't have the power to separate you from the Heavenly Father. Death don't have the power to separate you from the Heavenly Father. Hell don't have the power to separate you. No demon, no fallen angel, nothing can separate you or separate us from the love of Christ. He loved us so much that he sacrificed his life and he gave his life for us so that we may have life, not only just on this earth, but have life eternal for all eternity. Watch what it says. It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution. Right now, the children of Israel suffering persecution right now at this very day and time to the hand of Lucifer. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but what? Principalities of wickedness and evil spirits in high places. Hate and racism is an evil spirit. It was orchestrated and created by Lucifer himself. But that's okay. We all know what's going to happen to each and every one of them in the end. They're going to get theirs in the end. Watch this. It says, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. In other words, if someone was to kill you, see, this is speaking in ancient times. I don't believe they had guns back then. But see, it don't matter how people kill you, guess what? Nothing can separate you. Nothing can take you from the love of our Heavenly Father. Even if they destroy the very flesh, and this is the word that's being spoken by the other ministers, he has the power. Christ is going to raise us from the dead on the day when he returns. When that sky part open, he's going to raise us from the dead. No matter how you passed away, whether it was peace, it doesn't matter if it was through hate, he's going to raise you. This is why salvation is important. You want to win, receive salvation. That's the best way to fight. Because Christ said, I'm going to destroy all of my enemies in the end. That's why the Bible says over in Revelation, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that thou art the Lord Christ. They're going to give an account for anything that they have done. We all have to give an account. But watch this. It says in verse 36, as it is written, that means that it's the word, it's scripture. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, it says in verse 37, in all these things we are what? More. See, you're not hearing me. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So all you have to do is love. That's your weapon, is love. That's Christ. That's the word. That's Christ's weapon, is love. See, that's how we going to win. See, you may think it's about violence, it's about getting up, turning up things and writing on stuff and shirts and talking noise on social media. That ain't going to do anything. It ain't helped us none. But if you just come to the Most High, I hear so many people saying we ought to do this and we ought to do that. Brother, the best thing that you can do is get saved. That's the best thing, sister, that you can do is get saved and receive salvation, because in the end, we shall win. We shall be the last one standing. Those of us that believe, those of us that are living righteous, those of us that are giving him all the praise and the glory and living a righteous life every day, because you're going to receive these rewards in the end. This is where it counts the most. Watch what it says in verse 38. It says, for I am persuaded. Paul said, I am convinced. I don't need nobody else to convince me. I have the word to convince me. Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, our Heavenly Father, which is in Christ. If you want to call him Jesus, that's fine. I'm okay. I'll call him Yahshua, our Lord. and Savior. Nothing can separate us. So it doesn't matter what man do. I recognize the evil that's going on in the world. And I have people say, well, do you know what's going on? I see what's going on. But is it my place to be that much concerned about it? I'm very concerned and deeply hurt and disturbed by it just as much as you are. But I know that there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger agenda at hand. Salvation. This is why Christ came. This is why he allowed himself. So remember, the Bible says if he was even dash his feet against a stone, that he can call on a legion of angels from heaven. But you know what? He sits there and said, no, not right now. It's not the time. See, a time's going to come for him to take vengeance on his enemies. If the Bible even says in Revelation, even though
that overseer, I'm sorry, got to put you. So I'm trying to keep a timeline and everybody doing good. I'm going to come right back to you in a minute. But, it's going good. And I'm going to try to give everyone another round. I'm going to come right back because this is really good. The response I'm receiving is real good. I'm going to come back with Elder Bazaar, and we're going to go right back in the same order we went in. And I know I said 5 minutes, but this time I'm going to give you 3 minutes and try to wrap everything you can say up in 3 minutes. And I'm going to start right back with the one we started off with, Elder Bazaar. So here you go, Elder.
All right. Boy, you're talking about food for my soul. I enjoyed every one of those elders and those men of the word. Let the world know, hey, it's Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. It's Jesus Christ and him only. And we talking about the killing and murders. Don't you know I'm the biggest murderer in the world because I'm guilty for putting Christ on the cross. The whole world is guilty for putting Christ on the cross and nailing him and letting him be put in the grave. And on the third day, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Now, you know, it takes some power to raise yourself from the dead, and Jesus Christ was the only one to do that. He said, I got power to lay it down, and I got power to pick it up again. And he did exactly that I can live through him in righteousness and in love. And here I'm going to read this scripture, brother. I'm going to read out of Micah. This scripture, and I'm going to shut my mouth because I don't want to get wound up. Because I get wound up, I don't want to get off the air. Amen. I'm going to look in Micah at the sixth chapter of Micah talking to Israel, and he speaks these words. It says here, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sins of my soul. He has shown me, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord requires of thee. This is what God requires of us, not just Israel, but the church. Not the church, but the man on the street, the prostitute. He said, but to do justly, good God Almighty, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I'm telling you right now, that's what God requires of every individual on this planet. And the only way you can walk in mercy, the only way you can walk in love, the only way you can walk humbly with God, as I tell everybody, anybody I meet, it's Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, dying, going in the grave, coming up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and he's coming back out the church without a spot or a wrinkle. So let us, as ministers of God and as prophets of God and as a watchman on the wall or whoever you are, let the world know, let's do what God requires us to do, and that is do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Bazaar. Hold tight one minute. Now I'm going to, we're going to go, and I thank you for that word. It's getting hot in here, so now like I got to put my preaching shoes on now. I'm going to Minister Tim Brown out of Warren, Ohio.
Okay, everyone, thank God for the word that went forth. As I was listening to the word, I remember the words that Jesus said, that we are the salt of the earth. And if we know what salt represents, what salt was used for, salt was used to, you know, repair bacteria. To stop the decaying. And that's what we're here as that salt in Jesus Christ, that we are to just to stop that decay of understand what sin is doing to people, what sin is doing to this nation. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. We are the creator thirst through Jesus Christ, that people would, when they need something, when they are hungry, when they're thirsty, they ought to seek Jesus through us, because we are that salt of the earth. And God is so good, we know how we add salt to our food sometimes, or a little flavor. And that's when we share Christ, when we witness in Christ through the Holy Spirit. It sounds so good that some would want to know what is it. We are the hope of the world. Jesus said we are the light of the world. In us, we have the light of life, which is Jesus Christ. And that light, but that darkness could not comprehend it. So we have that light of life in us. He is the vine. We are the branch. He said if we're in him, we can produce what? Much fruit. So I pray that God, we to get together, that we pray for one another in the spirit, and the spirit and the unity of Christ. The church will come together with one voice and one spirit through the Holy Spirit and produce fruit. Much fruit, good fruit. And as we're doing that, he's pruning us, that we can get better in him, that we can get intimate with Christ, that we can grow in him and become more secure in him. And we become such a powerful force. Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit as one, but just imagine what 3, 4, 5, 10, 100 powerful believers can do. Say, boy, I tell you what, he'll be climbing up a tree. And the tree can't go so high, but he'll be falling back down and running again. Because why? He see that we're coming in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we need to do. That's what the world needs. It needs hope. It needs the light of life in this crisis, that we're in this sin that's going on in this earth today. That Jesus said that what? If he be lifted up, that he would draw all men unto him. Be blessed.
Amen. All right, Tim, hold on a second. That was good. I'm starting to, y'all doing something. I'm going to Elder Taylor. Elder Taylor.
Yes, sir.
There you go, Doc.
All right. Hey, man, this word is really good. It's really good. It's edifying my soul, I tell you. One of the scriptures that came to mind as I was listening to everyone in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And that was the Lord came to Solomon at night and spoke those words to him, because they had been doing a feast and the sacrifices and earlier in that chapter to God to get his attention, and that's when he came and told him, God is getting our attention. And if my people, he said, if his people, if we could just humble ourselves and pray, and we could just seek his face, then would he hear from his Father? Then would he come and heal our land? If we could just learn how to come together, and like the brother from the overseer was saying, Overseer Tim was saying about love and salvation, it's so important. It's a big key component. If we could teach people and show people with salvation and with the Holy Ghost, you can fight. You can fight in the spirit, because the riots and tearing up cities and doing all these different things, that's flesh. That's external. There's nothing eternal about that stuff. It may bring a little attention to it, but it's not going to fix anything. But what's going to fix it is love and being able to fight in the spirit with salvation, with the Holy Ghost, with the anointing, the power of God that will rest, rule, and abide in each and every one of us. If we can get as many people saved as we can, get as many people on our side as a collective body of believers, so that we can all fight against the enemy. Because like I said before, we fight not against flesh and blood, but we can get people to understand that we're not fighting against flesh, because our carnal thoughts are not going to fix it. We have to seek the face of God so that he can continue to teach us and learn us through the Holy Ghost so that we can do the things that he will have us to do in order to fight in the spirit realm. Because these things, the world don't understand what's going on. The world cannot comprehend the spiritual ramifications of what's going on today and what's been going on for hundreds of years. But we, as a collective body of believers, have to understand and know that if we can come together, be on one accord, in one place, like the day of Pentecost, and come together and pray and seek his face, we can defeat the enemy in ways like he's never been defeated before. That's all I got, Elder Allen.
Amen. All right, Doc, I'll need you to hold on one second. I'm gonna get some closing remarks from you in a minute. Hold on one second. This is really getting good. Now I'm going to go to my man from Texas, the overseer, Tim Jackson.
Amen. All glory and praise be to the Most High. I have really enjoyed this platform. Minister Bazaar, Minister Brown, Minister Taylor, and Minister Alford, you have all blessed my spirit and my soul. And Minister Taylor, you said something so deep and so profound tonight. I mean, that was so amazing, because if you think about it, we all come together and grow as believers and bring in more believers. If you remember the children of Israel, any time that they followed the Most High and they were obedient, couldn't nobody defeat them. Goliath couldn't beat David. At the walls of Jericho, they had to come down. Anytime that they were outnumbered, could no one beat the children of Israel? And that's what we must understand today. We have to let the Heavenly Father have it. He said, the battle is mine, it's not yours. He said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. That's what the scriptures say. And I just want to just say all blessings and all glory to the Most High. And I just have to share a few scriptures with you before I'm done. I just want to go call your attention to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and what Paul said in verse 9. He says, but as it is written, in other words, it's the word, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is why salvation is the most important thing. The great commission of Christ is that we preach the word in season and out of season, that we teach salvation. And salvation is yours for all eternity. And the things that you're going to receive, you can't even imagine in your mind what he has for us, because he loves us, because we are obedient to him and we live his word. And if you jump over to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, real quick, and look at verse 12, it says, now if any man build, that means to live righteous, upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, then what? Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's important that we live and we do this word and we spread salvation, and that this ministry, this radio ministry, the power that it has to grow and to reach souls each and every day. And that's why I love the word every day on this station, that it goes forth and it reaches souls, because at this day and time, there's not enough word going forth. There's not enough love going forth. You can never get enough word and to give to the people out here in the world, because we see that the world greatly needs it, especially at this day and time, just before the return of Christ. And as Paul said over in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 18, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. May we all be blessed and that we push salvation. Amen.
Hey. Elder Bazaar, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, I got 5 minutes. A couple minutes. Okay.
No. We're getting ready to close out. Did y'all just hear me?
Yeah, I missed a little bit. I couldn't hear, but I missed a little bit.
Okay.
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 But I got most of it. Yeah, I got most of it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we got to close out. I think I was just on mute. You know what? Let me say this all over again. I just want to go ahead and get ready and close out. Hold on 1 second, Bizarre.
All right. All right, bro.
You there, Elder Taylor? You didn't hear
yes,
me?
Sir.
Okay, so didn't no one just hear what I just said for the last few minutes?
I didn't hear you.
Okay, well, I got to go all over again. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Again, I'm sorry. I think everybody was on hold. They had me on mute. That's just the devil trying to sneak in on us. But what I was saying and what I'm going to say is I thank everybody for participating tonight, for joining us tonight. I just want to say, again, thank you. The last few minutes of it, they muted me, and I guess they didn't want me to say what I had to say. But I just want to thank all the ministers, Minister Tim Brown, Elder Bizarre, the overseer, Tim Jackson. I just want to thank all of y'all for coming out. And what I was saying before they muted me, that's funny, my own people muted me, but I guess they didn't want us to get this out. We connected to over 2,200 people tonight. And when we connected that many people, I was saying, I want Elder Taylor, before I close out the show tonight, I'd like for you, if you don't mind, to give an altar call, a benediction call for me, if you don't mind. Just because that many people heard what we were talking about tonight. And from the response I'm getting, everyone enjoyed the different perspective of the different ministers and preachers coming from different angles. They enjoyed that. And we have to do this in this day and age because we have to be the example. We have to be the example. We can't go rioting, tearing up stuff. The only thing we can do is do it through the word of God. And we're not fighting a physical person. We're fighting a spiritual person. And I believe someone said it here tonight, you know, Paul, before he was Paul, he used to kill Christians. Someone got to him for his heart to be changed. We have to be these type of people in this day and age. As mad as we are, we still have to serve Christ first. And again, with Elder Bizarre, I thank you for being here. Overseer, I thank you for joining us as well. I think I lost Minister Brown, but I want to thank him for being here as well. I'm going to give everyone a chance to just wrap up and say goodnight. I'm going to start with Elder Bizarre. And this is a quick 60 seconds goodnight. And hold on, and I'm going to close out with Elder Taylor.
All right, this is Elder Bizarre. Elder Bizarre is going to run out with just the old rugged cross. Is the my church hymn. And I say the old rugged cross because that's where I get my power from. This is where I get my love from. This is where I get my joy from. And I tell the world, I stand on top of the tallest mountain in the world and proclaim that hymn, the old rugged cross, and Jesus took that hill. And he took it for me, took it for you. He took it that he can redeem man from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And I'm saying tonight, I rejoice to do see what Brother Derek is doing to get into these people because that's what they need to be hearing, salvation and not prosperity. Prosperity, hey, God has already prospered me. When he saved my soul, I'm the most prosperous man in the world. I don't need a whole lot of money for planes and cars. I need Jesus Christ. And I tell anybody, receive Christ in your life.
Thank you, Elder Bizarre. Thank you. I'm going now to, I lost Tim Brown. So we're going to go to the overseer to give his closing remarks. And then I'm coming to you, Elder Taylor.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High. And I'd like to thank Chaos Talk Radio and Derek Oliver again for this opportunity. Just like to say blessings to each and everyone that's listening tonight. Hopefully something was said to bless you. Most of all, that you receive salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I tell people all the time, salvation is easier than what you think. That's the trick of the devil. He wants you to believe that it's more difficult and harder than what it is. It's not. All you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and salvation is yours for all eternity, and you win. And just like Elder Bizarre said, you know, he's already the richest man. You're already rich. The richest thing that you can ever receive is eternal life. Who wouldn't want that, to live and be young for all eternity? Amen. So all glory be to the Most High. Hopefully, if you're not saved at listening to this message tonight, that you do receive salvation. We're praying for each and every one of you. We love and I love each and every one of you that's listening tonight. And may your spirits be blessed and have a wonderful and blessed week. Love you all.
Thank you there, Overseer. That's Overseer Tim Jackson out of Texas. Out of Texas. Now I'm going to have my man, Elder Taylor. You mind having a benediction for me tonight, man?
Yeah. Well, we just want to thank God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this platform, for being able to come before the people that are listening, the 2,200 or so people that's listening over the airwaves. We just thank God for you, and I thank God for being able to iron sharpens iron, and I thank God for Elder Bizarre, Minister Brown, Overseer Jackson, and Elder Derek Oliver for us being able to come together and sharpen some iron tonight, and that people were blessed, and that people heard something to prick their heart. If they didn't have Jesus already, that something was said by one of us that through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost pricked your heart, and you said, I must be saved, because I know I'm not saved right now. I don't have Jesus in my heart. I haven't confessed with my mouth and believed with my heart that he died and that he rose on the third day. But if you do that tonight, it's just that easy. It's just that simple. If you just can believe, confess that, Lord, I'm a sinner. You can repeat this after me. Whoever's listening, that know you need Jesus in your life, confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. I ask that you come into my heart, come into my life, and save me. I believe that you died my salvation. I believe that the Father raised you so that I can live. And I believe that you are the Son of the Most High God. And I ask that you come into my life, clean me up, set me free of any and everything that I need to be delivered of so that I can live a holy lifestyle. For I know holiness is not a religion. Holiness is a lifestyle. And that I can live a righteous life before you. That you may receive me when I come to you. And if you just believe that, if you confess that, consider yourself saved according to the word. As Overseer Jackson said over in Romans 10:9, says that if thou shalt confess the Lord with thy mouth, that the Lord Jesus shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you believe that tonight, and you confess that tonight, and you repeated that tonight with me, we pray that the Lord will continue to come into you, find you a good Bible teaching church that speaks the word in spirit and in truth, that you can raise up and become mature in the things of God, that you can take hold and be a part of this great army of men and women all over the world. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you, thank
the
you,
brother that was on with us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Elder Taylor. I appreciate you for joining us tonight. All the ministers, Elder Bizarre, Minister Tim Brown, Overseer Tim Jackson, Elder Rick Taylor, and myself. I just think that going old school radio style, just coming off the rip and just speaking it, and the Lord is telling me we probably should do this again, Elder Taylor, Bizarre. We should come back again and just give a word.
Yeah.
Got to be deep. It ain't got to be all that, but just, I know, you know, men of God and men that's in the community and working and family, we have a word too. And it ain't always about collection, claiming it ain't always about being in the church, but it's about everyday living. And these black men and black young men, old men and young men, black and white, need to hear a word every now and then from us common folks.
Yes.
I'm going to call it common folks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That we can't, you know, or the bishops or the pastors and they're not doing their job. They have their place, and I'm going to keep them in their place. But sometimes we just need regular men that, for people to look at us and be like, okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
And it's sad we have to say
that. You can't be so holy than thou that you know earthly good.
Right. There you go, Doc.
You know?
There you go. There you go. And that's so true. That's so true. But the church is taking such a big hit right now. That's why I want to come the way I came tonight. Just some average men. And when I say average, there's no slight. Just some regular men to give the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, nothing, no title or you know, people, you know, when we talk to the preachers and stuff, they want to know if they're going first, second, and want to know the order. Then they want to know if they're going to put any coins, taking all that kind of, we ain't got time for all that right now. We're living in the academic right now, but we just need to get the word out there. So I'm going to definitely appreciate all y'all for coming out, all y'all for joining us again. My sponsors, Pepsi, Pizza Hut, Royal Caribbean, Brentwood Publishing, and Finish Line for putting this on for us. We'll be back tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Church. Bishop Omar and First Lady Zachary will be bringing the word on a tag team. Also, we got a new show tomorrow night, starting Friday night, right after. Matter of fact, I'm going to let him talk about it real quick. Elder Taylor, Overseer Jackson, has a new show coming out Friday night. And since I got you on the line, Overseer, what we got Friday night?
Yes, sir. So it'll be me and my co-host. It'll be a new show called Freestyle Fridays. A good friend of mine, we've been knowing each other since our childhood days. He goes by the name of Big Tate Entertainment because he's kind of into the entertaining world where he plays music. And so we're going to be on the show tomorrow night, just basically just freestyle, talk about things that are going on in the world, and see what we can do as a community to just try to help better our situation, just some ideas so we're open. Even if we can have the lines open, that'll be cool, too, if people would like that. But that's all. We're just going to be just freestyle, just talking about things of the world and how we can improve as a community.
Amen. And that's tomorrow night. That's going to be right after Praise Tabernacle Church. With Praise Tabernacle Church is on from 7. And they'll get done. The overseer will be on at 9 o'clock Central Time.
Yes, sir.
10 o'clock Eastern Time. I know we probably had a little confusion there a little bit earlier today, but yeah, so 10 o'clock our time on Eastern time, Central Standard Time, 9 p.m., 10 p.m.
to 7
p.m.
Yes,
and
sir.
Then on Saturday, right, West Coast. So with all that being said, again, men of God, I appreciate all of y'all. Thank you for being on the air, and we got to get out of here. And until we meet again, we'll be doing this again on a Thursday. I don't know what Thursday, but we'll be doing this again on a Thursday. Until then,
can I give one last word?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do apologize. Yeah, I'll be back on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Well, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. East Coast time.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, you're okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And I'll be back on Friday. And then he got Saturday going on as well. So we're busy over here at Chaos Radio. We got a lot of shows. We got Wednesday night as well, Watchmen on the Wall at 9 p.m., and then Watchmen on the Wall again on Sundays at 5 p.m. So all week long, we got the Word of God, so we'd be without excuse. So this is, you know, I didn't took the chaos and the craziness off my show. Now I'm all religion. And well, I ain't going to say that. Let me take that back. Not religion. It's spiritual. Because we ain't religious.
There you go.
It's spiritual.
There you go.
Spiritual.
There you
spiritual
go.
Mind.
Yes, sir.
So everybody, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. We're spiritual people, and this is going to be a spiritual station. So with all that being said, and also we got Monday, D&K, me and my wife, we do a little Bible break on Monday. And we got a special guest joining us on Monday, and we'll talk about that later on in the week. I'm getting ahead of myself, and it's time to go. These preachers got me all excited and everything. I got to calm myself down. Thank you, preachers, again. Everyone that's out there
appreciate
listening
you.
To, I just want to say thank you all. And with that, good night, and we'll see you all again tomorrow night. 7 p.m. All right, thank you, Elders.
All right.
Good night.
All right.
Good night. You're welcome.
Good
appreciate
night.
You.
You are now tuned in to